A month ago, the events in Libya of today would seem absolutely unimaginable, but we do have to keep tabs on what's going on in the country as news change there constantly. And we have David Kirkpatrick of the New York Times with us now. He's joining us from the Libyan border to update us on what's going on. David, we just heard the voice of a protester saying that the anti-government side, the anti-Gaddafi side, at this point is taking heavy casualties, but continuing to advance toward the center of Tripoli. Is that what you were hearing as well?
I can't hear you very well in this connection, but if you're saying that the anti-Gaddafi forces appear to be closing in on Tripoli at the price of heavy, heavy casualties, that's absolutely right. I mean, I continue to hear reports at the border of a real bloodbath, especially in the towns in the northeast around Tripoli. But I have to tell you, the gosh darnest thing is happening right now. We have a situation where the protesters have called for a massive demonstration in Tripoli. They say they're streaming towards Tripoli from all over the country for a big confrontation. The Gaddafi forces are massing outside Tripoli, including the militia and the mercenaries, ready to do battle. And on top of all this, Colonel Gaddafi and his son say this is a great time to bring in the foreign press. They've invited the foreign press in today. They've apparently spruced up on Green Square in downtown Tripoli and hung banners with signs for BBC and Al Jazeera saying don't print lies and so forth. And why on earth they would be inviting the foreign press in, if that's indeed what they're doing, when everything points to a massive bloody confrontation in Tripoli, only, it's a crazy thing to do.
Well, perhaps the Gaddafi and his son are trying to prove his allegations yesterday that it is al-Qaeda and perhaps some drug-addled youngsters who are leading the uprising.
Again, I can't hear you precisely, but it sounds like you're talking about that really unusual speech that Colonel Gaddafi made yesterday. And even, yes, it was a nutty thing to say that Osama bin Laden is giving pharmaceuticals or narcotics to the people of this town. And he was, it's even crazier to phone in, like he's calling into some sort of television talk show to deliver his speech over the phone to state television. And his speech, just to be clear, was focused on one particular town, Zawiya, which is an important town near some oil fields and a kind of gateway to the capital. And apparently the loss of Zawiya, which his forces, again, after exacting heavy casualties from the rebels, were not able to retake yesterday. The fact that his forces could not take Zawiya appears to have really rattled Colonel Gaddafi, which is why we saw that very unusual rant about Osama bin Laden and his drugs for the kids.
Well, for as much as this as you can hear, David Kirkpatrick of the New York Times, he's on the Libyan border. Stay safe, and thank you so much for joining us. Also with us is Lawrence Pope, a former U.S. ambassador to Chad. He served in Libya as a diplomat in the 1970s for the State Department and a former political advisor to the U.S. Central Command. Good morning, Ambassador.
Good morning, Celeste. How are you?
I'm doing well, thanks. I wanted to bring back to you this idea of the Arab Awakening, which was mentioned not only by you in an editorial, but by Shibli Tilhami as well in his comments. The first Arab Awakening was very much a Western idea about bringing Western ideals into the Arab world. Is that the kind of Arab Awakening you're talking about now?
No, it's very different. This one is being brought about by Arab populations themselves. From one end of the Arab world to the other. It's a remarkable phenomenon.
I want to play for you a comment that Michael Scheuer made on this program yesterday. Scheuer was the former head of the CIA bin Laden division.
Yep.
And here's what he had to say about the pro-democracy movement in Cairo.
I think it's pretty much Western thinking, isn't it? As if what went on in Cairo really had any long-term prospect of democracy. You know, the veneer of westernized English-speaking Muslims Egypt is strong in that demonstration, but among, say, the million Egyptians, it's not very deep.
That opinion is echoed by a number of people who really fear that it's what we're going to see coming out of these uprisings is the rise of religious extremists or, as Michael Scheuer says, Islamists.
Well, with all due respect, I think that's a very condescending attitude. What we saw in Tahrir Square was not just the westernized elite, but the Egyptian people and all of their, from the villages and mainly from the urban centers, of course. But it was not a veneer of the westernized elite, and And those Islamic activists who were part of it were notably moderate in their comments.
Well, but, I mean, democracy is a messy thing. And certainly it's going to be a period in all of these countries of transition, in Tunisia and Egypt, certainly. But even these other countries, whether they succeed in deposing their leaders or not, there's always periods of time in which there's going to be unrest, further unrest. There's going to be chaos. There's going to be things which will concern people who have viewed the Middle East with suspicion for some time.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a long road, and it's going to be a difficult road. In places like Bahrain, where you see the country poised between Saudi Arabia and its own population, really, like Saudi Arabia supporting the Al Khalifa rulers. In the streets of Tripoli today, you see how difficult it is. But you know, and it's going to be a long term process. It'll be a process with many fits and starts.
Well, but
that said, Celeste, what's happening here is remarkable, and it's something that the United States should applaud.
Well, let me ask you, Ambassador, what are you seeing in these countries that gives you what you call as ephemeral hope, I think is what you said? What specific groundless euphoria, I think, was your phrase. What is it that's bringing you such that hope? For what's the change that's occurring in the Middle Eastern region?
You know, it's different from country to country, and it's hard to generalize. Things will be very different in Yemen than in Tunisia or in Egypt or in Libya or in Bahrain. But what's happened here is that the Arabs have found their voice again after a long period of silence. They found self-confidence. They're looking now to the future again with a measure of confidence in the sense that they can affect their own lives. And that's a dramatic change.
We are speaking to Lawrence Pope. He's a former ambassador, U.S. ambassador to Chad, retired U.S. diplomat, served in Libya in the 1970s, and was a political advisor at the U.S. Central Command. Ambassador, thank you so much for joining us.
You're most welcome, Celeste.